title of the hymn you just sang was The Presence of God Invoked. And that probably would disrupt most in organized religion. It is something unheard in this day. It is something unknown. And it doesn't trouble most that it is not known. Maybe one day, dear children. If you turn with me to the 24th Psalm, and I hope, if the Lord will help, to speak to you from verse number 3, the question that David asked, or the two questions that he asked, about a creature of earth ascending. But before we look at this or any of the scripture, would you pray with me as we seek the Lord's help? Gracious and merciful Father, again, we are thankful for the privilege to gather, for the freedom that we know thus far to open the book and to speak freely of the of Christ, His great work, and of the Spirit of God. Yet, Lord, we can have all the freedom in the world and never rightly declare. We can have freedom to listen, but never hear. We ask of Thee for these things. For it would seem more fitting for one of the archangels or angel to stand and declare Thy truth. For they are not sinful creatures. And yet, Lord, they do not know grace as we do. And You've assigned the task to sinful creatures. Help. And get us beyond a Wednesday evening and beyond tired bodies, minds, and instruct us and help Your children and exalt Your dear Son. We ask in His name and for His name's sake. Amen. Psalm 22 would be a good psalm for you to read sometime before the week's over. David is speaking. David is speaking from experience. But there is a greater than David that is involved in this psalm. For David could never do for us what the Son of David can. And though David did sink low, went through many a trial, and knows what he is speaking here from personal experience, yet his was nothing compared to the Son of God. No affliction like that of Christ. No suffering like that of the Lord Jesus. Now, after the 22nd Psalm, David then begins to tell us about the shepherd's psalm, or about the shepherd of his people. The Lord is my shepherd. That is, in time, won't need one in eternity. That is present day. For it is the journey, or in the journey through the wilderness, that we do not know what's around the bend. We do not know what tomorrow holds. We do not know whether to go to the right or left, straight ahead, or stand still for some time. We need the shepherd. And as is with me and with you, a single sheep, one left to itself, is one of the most helpless and defenseless animals that there is. On occasion, when they would be a group of them, they may have protected some of the lambs, but never a sheep by itself. One of the things about a sheep, as far as God's children, that they all hear His voice. Now, folks, that in and of itself is a tremendous statement that Jesus made. The eternal God speaking to creatures of dust. To undeserving creatures. To even at times less than creatures. For we came into the world with little or no thought outside ourselves. And as concerning the Lord and King, we would have nothing to do with that. We wanted to be in charge. If there's anything in my nature concerning God prior to a new birth, it is that I am at enmity with God. And now to think that the shepherd speaks. But secondly, that the sheep have the ability to hear God. It's amazing that God would speak, that God does speak, and it is more amazing to me that any of us have the ability to hear God. But before you ever heard God, He had to do a work within. Something had to be given wherein you had a receptor and it sensitively tuned to the voice of God. Now, there are a lot of sounds in this room, a lot of sound waves in this room. But we do not have the capability of intercepting them and interpreting them. We could bring in a radio and flipping through all the different stations that we could get any kind from noise to music. Well, you're not hearing any of them now because you do not have the ability to receive those waves. You've all heard of the little dog whistle that you can blow and a human being cannot hear it. Its frequency is at such a level that the human ear cannot hear. And for you to hear, just like we'd have to bring a radio in to pick up a lot of the sounds that are floating through the air, for you to hear, God had to fix you so as to hear, and God had to give you the ability to interpret that He is saying. For as in this room, there are a lot of different noises that will go through your head and a lot of different sounds. And one of the things that you must become somewhat an expert is determining what's the voice of God to my soul. Be it the voice of God in creation, or the voice of God in providence, or the voice of God in reading the scriptures or in hearing a message. Is He telling me the truth? That is the preacher. Am I rightly interpreting the providence that God has now thrust me into? Now the animals, sheep, cannot commune, so the shepherd is all alone. The sheep might be able to detect the sound of His voice, but they could not make out certain commands. They don't have that ability. Now, supposing a man took a lamb and he raised that lamb from a bottle, and he kept it with him. He gave the lamb a name, and over time the animal became so familiar that it would respond when the shepherd called its name. But in all that the shepherd has done for that little lamb, it can't relate to the shepherd. It cannot make its heart known. It cannot reveal its emotions. Now God named. God gave the ability to recognize His call. God gave you the ability to communicate. Sometimes we have difficulty communicating with each other. We don't know what's the right thing to say. We are concerned about the manner in which it is said. It might be misinterpreted. But how about communicating with God? For this to take place, there had to be Psalm 22. Now, what a gift it is for one to be made a sheep, birthed into the family of God, and what power the shepherd had to have, not only in birthing you, but in giving you the ability to recognize His voice. This is the eternal. This is the infinite. This is the thrice holy God speaking. And yet there's something beyond that. This God speaking giving the ability to understand, and beyond that it's this, that this God who is so holy that He cannot look upon sin condescends to speak to such as I. It is a wonder of wonders that God would speak, but more so that God would talk with me. Now, as high and as great as that is, there's the third thing that supersedes these. Goes beyond God talking. Goes beyond God talking to you. Goes beyond God giving you the ability to discern and know His voice. And that's Psalm 24, where we are this evening. The earth, you wouldn't think this to be a truth as evil as the days are, and the fullness thereof. It seems highly unlikely that God is still sovereignly in control over a nation that has become as wicked and as sinful as the United States has become. Vile. It seems like we parade vile. And yet, this is the Lord's nation. Not that He is going to save her, bring revival to her, bring her out of the horrible mess that we have gotten into, but it's still His nation. And all the kings and the politicians and of all the wickedness that abounds, Christ's foot is over all. All things are put under His feet. But I don't see that. I don't listen to the news anymore. They've got nothing to tell me that will benefit me. But it wouldn't seem like that all things are put under His feet. Though I do not see them, they are. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. The world is the Lord's, and they that dwell therein. For He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Beyond God speaking, giving you the ability to hear and interpret that He said, there's this. The question is now asked, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? It is one thing to speak to a person of dignity, an honorable person, and to have that person speak to you. But it is completely different to have a nobleman invite you into His presence. What? You in prison? And Pharaoh invites. But when the king invites, it is not an open invitation. If you feel like it, I'd like for you to attend a meeting. It is a command. And you in prison, and you got to walk out of the prison into a palace, you will shave as did Joseph, and somebody will bring a change of raiment, because you must not go into the presence of the king in prison clothes. Now, the first time we go, it will be in those. The first time we go, it will be coming straight out of the hog pen or from the hog pen into the presence of infinite holiness. There will be other times that you must approach Him upon the basis of your sinful deeds, straight from sin into His presence. But that's not what this is speaking about. For here the one sits down and contemplates and makes the best preparation that he can to present himself rightly. I've often found myself in prayer or in reading getting through a few verses and finding that my mind's been out yonder 1,000 miles from where I was reading, the verses I was reading. Or one moment speaking directly to God and a few minutes later finding out that you got off that track. And I often, in trying to get back, wonder if that was my behavior towards one of much dignity and held in high honor, I wonder what he'd do. probably dismiss me and say, if you've got no more concern about speaking with me or about hearing what I've got to say in the written word, then away with you. I have nothing else to say to you. But I know, surely it is so with you, that there have been times when an attempt has been made, sincerely, honestly made for you to ascend into that hill of the Lord. And with the best effort that you have put forth, you leave without a sense of His presence. You leave without the reality of ever having gotten where God is. Or do you know what it is? If we are invoking God by way of song, to make His presence known, does not that say that, Lord, if you will do that, then I will know that you are here? Or is there a concern within as to whether or not God makes me sensible, realize His presence? Sometimes the Lord will refrain from manifesting Himself to you during these times, so that you must learn what it is to walk by faith and not by sight and not by sense. But not all the time. You should get a little concerned if faith doesn't bring you directly into the manifest presence of God. Sometimes He won't, teaching you that you are to rely upon His character and upon His person and not how you feel. But if you don't ever know that you've been in the presence of the Lord, is it a possibility that you've never been? Sometimes God not manifesting Himself could be a part of the fiery trials that is to burn away from us all the dross of human beings that is mixed with faith that we think it is pure faith, and yet we've got so much attached to it. I know there will be times when He will not manifest, though you've made an honest and sincere effort to ascend into the hill of the Lord. The opposite of this is that self-righteous, presumptuous attitude that assumes that the Lord is always there, and that assumes that when I open my mouth, I am speaking to Him. And since I am speaking to Him, He readily receives that I am speaking to Him concerning. This group ascends in their own thinking into a holy place, but they never leave with the slightest notion or indication that they have ever been in the presence of God. You don't want that to be a strange thing, do you, at death? You don't want to experience it for the first time, do you? Then seek His presence now. The presumptuous takes for granted and assumes because he's heard all his life, God loves me, and yet he's never felt that in his own heart. Folks have told him that he is forgiven, but he's never sensed in his soul pardoning mercy. He's taking somebody's word. She's taking somebody's word for it. They're told that they've been reconciled unto God, yet there's no realization within his heart, within her heart, that the slate has been wiped clean and that God has actually forgiven. How do you know you're forgiven? You won't know because I told you. And you won't know because the Bible tells you. You'll know because God makes you to know it in your soul. Shall a prisoner be set free and never know it? Shall an enemy be reconciled and never have peace within his soul if he needs to confront that person again? Well, he said he forgave me, but you're afraid. And if you see them on the opposite street corner, you'll go several blocks out of the way because you really don't know. Have you been reconciled? Have you been set free? Has the peace of God from time to time flooded your soul, making you know that the enmity between you and God is gone? No, the prisoner's gonna know when the bars, cell bars, door opens, and he's got a parole. He's got a release. He's got a pardon. He's going to know. And the children of God are going to know. They're going to know something about the awareness of ascending into the hill of God. Now listen to who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand. Getting there's one thing. And this is not an invite. It's a command. Getting there's one thing, but the second thing is who shall stand. Now, there's a difference in me kneeling before an almighty majestic being, and the opposite of that would be have the audacity within to stand looking God in the face from an upright position. Now God made man upright, but he sought out many inventions. But Jesus Christ is in the process of remaking him and enabling him. Are you on sure footing? Would you dare stand in the presence of God? The Spirit of adoption resides in every heart, bringing into that heart the realization that you are speaking to your Father. Not just God. The Spirit of adoption, the Spirit of Christ, lets out that newborn cry, Abba, Father. The grief, one of the great griefs of my heart in this day is that many, really most, professing Christians seem to have obtained all that they will ever need in the one encounter with the Lord. It's like you saying you love somebody, but you're satisfied with just being introduced to them. It is the introduction and all subsequent encounters with the living God in that hill, in His holy place, that will forever be changing you from image to image, beholding God in the face of the Lord Jesus. Now the disciples did not fully know Christ Jesus, who He was, what He was. But every time that they were confronted by one or more of His powerful acts, they knew that they were in the presence of greatness. Something beyond that of any man. Here was an extraordinary human being. And by the end of their 3 years journeying, and especially upon the descent of the Holy Spirit, they knew. But Peter knew, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let me give you one example. Mark chapter 4 and verse number 41. Do you think that these men could have walked with Him for that length of time and not come to the realization this is not a mere man? Christ is asleep in the hinder part of the ship, Mark 4:38. And they go wake Him up. Now verse 39. And He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly. Has it ever produced a humbling effect in your soul in speaking with God? A humbling effect in your soul in having God speak to you? Was there an introduction? And since that introduction, has there been frequent manifestations of God in Christ, and you feared exceedingly and said, Lord, if You deal with me justly, You'd send me to hell right now. But don't deal in that manner. I can't stand. I can't abide. But in mercy, have ye cried out for mercy because there was a felt, realized, known, sinful condition that you were in? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him? Has God ever surprised you? Have you ever found something new in Scripture? You've heard it 1,000 times and it came across as though that's the first time you ever heard it? Has God opened your heart as He opened the book and you knew you were walking with Him? See, folk, a God of your own imagination will never be changing you. It's impossible to be a child of God and not go through the process of daily being changed from the image of Adam into the image of Christ. But a God of your own making, He'll never be changing you. Matter of fact, He's rather convenient, for He never demands of you. And He never expects any change in you. You can place a Dagon over the mantelpiece, on the bookshelf. You can pass by and tip your hat to Dagon, or your own God you've made, but your personal life will never be changed. You think God will have children that He is not changing? You can't ascend into the hill of God. You can't have God speak. You can't get into the realized presence of God without change. It's going to have its effect upon you. Now David asked the question, who shall ascend? By that he is assuming that there are some people that have a desire within to get up there. He's not just talking or writing to be talking. But before he asked that question, he made you to know that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. All things are His. Making you to know that at one time you were nothing more than an inhabitant of the earth, of a lower world. And you found all your pleasure and all your desires herein. But being created anew, there was something placed within you that made desires run out, to reach a limit, reach a height that you don't know anything about. I don't know what it is, but I know that I want to get above where I am. I don't know much about God, but this I know, I want to know more. That's in every child. There is a hunger to know the one that is unknowable. And somebody points out the Lamb of God to you, and you see Him walking, and you cry out, Master, where are you dwelling today? Something's wrong, children, if this is not a daily pursuit. Where are you dwelling? It wasn't a curiosity as, is He living in an apartment? Does He own a home? Is He going back to the place where He was raised? This isn't a question of curiosity about, wonder what kind of furniture is in His house, if He made it, or if others have given it to Him. There was something within those men that wanted to know where Jesus was going to abide that evening. And a Christian's not one concerned or got an interest in the structure of the house or the programs that are going on within the walls or the social events. He's not interested in logging on his record, I heard one more sermon or I learned one more Bible verse. He's interested in finding out something about the God that the people in the church are going to worship. You don't know any, do you? Say, yeah, I know. But you know few, don't you? Many, many years ago, I know that one got frustrated, one in here got frustrated with me a lot. Because the person was always saying good things about a lot of people. And because they were faithful at church, the person automatically attributed to them that of being a Christian. And throughout the years, the person has seen them fall by the wayside, that this one had somewhat of high regard to a lot of them. Tell me, oh, thou whom my soul loved. You dare talk to Christ like that? Lord, I love you. I will know where you're feeding. And I will know where you make your flock rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turned aside by the flocks or thy companions? Nobody else can do for me what you can do. I just want to know, where are you dwelling? I want to know where you're feeding your flock. There's just something within that wants to mount up with wings and soar into the heavenlies. Looking back upon the, no, not looking back. Striving to look directly into the sun. I'd always heard this for a long time, that an eagle was the only animal capable of looking directly into the sun. I thought that might just have been an old tale. But it's more than that. They can gaze directly. And there's something in us that wants to look into the face of God. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Have one more opportunity this side eternity of maybe God speaking with me, of me hearing Him. I'll have one more opportunity this side eternity of ascending hopefully into the hill of the Lord. Stand in the holy place of God. And it sure did strike a right chord when somebody said, won't you go with me to the house of the Lord? The wise men followed the star. not because they were astronomers or had a curiosity of heavenly structures. And the shepherds left, not because of an animal curiosity to go find out what that host of angels are talking about, but there was something in their soul that moved them towards the Lamb of God. And the religious crowd said, "We know him because we know his parents." But everybody that met Christ thought they knew so little about him. And they had an inclination within they couldn't get rid of to know more. Just get up into the heavens. We put that telescope up into space, and they were able to see the stars that had never been seen before, and with such clearness, they got it out of the Earth's atmosphere, which is distorting all things. And all we as ministers can do is tell you about, hoping that in telling you about him, that a hunger will be created within so you're not satisfied to go on with the motions of living and not satisfied with information. But we tell you, hoping that some of you will say, even if you are filled with doubts about it, will say, like Nathaniel, "Can that be?" And then we can say, go over there and say, we say, "You come with me and see." You want Christ exalted more here. Get a greater hunger for him. You want him manifest more in the preaching. Get a longing in your soul to get where he is. When he asks the question, he is assuming that there are some folk that like to know the answer. And when he asks the question, he is assuming that the old world, which is the Lord's, has lost so much of its luster and attraction to such a degree within that heart that there is within a longing to get to the court of the King. But then when you get there, you're not satisfied lingering around in the outer court. You want to get on the inside. You want to get to the inner court. And you want to see the one on the throne, and you want to see if the one on the throne is holding out the golden scepter, saying, "Come in." If there is not and has never been a longing to ascend, quit fooling yourself. That's the nature of a child of God. You want more than what you got. And I'm not talking about another dollar in the bank and another 4 weeks paid vacation. I'm talking about you want more than what you got concerning the knowledge of God, concerning walking with Him. And don't take someone else's word for it. Let God Himself settle it in your soul that there is peace between He and you. You know you're forgiven. You know that you know you are forgiven.